God has all week been having me say this to people. God often offends our mind to reveal what's in our heart. Do you hear that? God often offends our mind to reveal what's in our heart. I want you to realize Sunday school, in your idea, will probably end here. My goal is to end it here, but I'm an over person, so realize that Sunday school may go to here. Okay? What else? What is the other thing, Lord? Challenge more. Okay, we'll go there. All right. Now, last week when we did homework, we looked at, I asked you a couple of questions. Is hell real to you? Did you ask God to make hell real to you? Oh, I'm sorry. I was talking to you. Is hell real to you? Ask God. If you didn't do it yet, I'm going to keep. See, that's why God has me repeat stuff to pester you, to remind you. Okay? You ready? We need to ask God help. See, it's easy to think about heaven. We don't want to think about hell because it scares us. It hurts people. It's scary. And you don't want to think about anybody going there. But do you think God, let's see, if somebody hated your family, Tom, and you knew that, like when all your kids were at home, okay, let's say your girls were at home, and you knew somebody was going to be a rapist and a thief, and they hated light, and they hated truth, and they were selfish. Would you, if they knocked on your door and they said, let me come in, they had a smile and they smelled good, they had perfume on, would you let them in your home knowing those things? No. Why? Because you want the opposite and you want to protect your family. Would God be just to let that into heaven? If Jesus died for sin, to pay for every sin of every sinner, and the sinner isn't willing to bring that, for that to be forgiven and removed, isn't willing to break agreement with that, but they, I want to go to heaven, I want to bring that with me. Would it be heaven if they could bring it in? So it's easy to think about heaven, but hell, God, open our eyes that we would see hell the way you do. Because I'm going to tell you what, if you get a glimpse of hell, if it becomes real to you, you will find yourself motivated to talk to people about Jesus. Because I'm going to tell you what, can I be honest with you for a minute? Can you look at me? Can I be honest with you? You're gonna have a thought. I need to witness to this person. And you may be in a room like a friend of mine was, a man that I know. He was out mowing his yard, and his wife said, "Hey, go to the neighbor's next door and borrow a cup of sugar or something for whatever she was baking." So he walks in. He's all dirty, got his shorts on. He's a pastor of a church, but he's looking all grubby, right? He walks in, he knocks on the neighbor's house. They open the door and he walks in and it's filled with people and they're all wearing suits and looking all spiffy. And he's like, "Oh man, you know, come in, pastor," she says out loud. "Come in." And he walks in and he sees all these people and God says, "Where are they going to spend eternity?" She goes, "Right, come here, let me introduce you, pastor, all grubby looking, smelly, grass things all over you. Come here, let me introduce you." So she takes him around to introduce him. "Hi, this is my pastor." And he said, "Do you know where you're going to spend eternity?" And he asked every single person in that room. He said, "I could be intimidated, or they could be intimidated with the truth." And he said, "I'm not trying to intimidate them." Okay? He said, "But," he said, "it wasn't about me. It's about Jesus, and he's all about others. And where are they going to spend eternity?" And you know what ended up happening? There was a man there in the room that was visiting from another state. And he said to the man, if you were to die, are you 100% sure you would immediately go to be with God in heaven? And the man said, no. He said, would you like to know? And the man said, yes. Out of the whole room, I think he said it was 14 people or something like that. One man. And he took the man, they got aside, and the man called out to God for mercy through the blood of Jesus, born again. Stayed over, because that was on a Saturday, stayed over in town, was going to leave that day, but stayed over so he could come to church the next morning and get baptized. Now, my question is, what would we have done? You see, you're going to be in the grocery store, and there's going to be people around, and God's going to move on your heart. And you're going to see somebody, and God, you're going to see them through God's eyes, and God's going to say, I want to witness that person. If you get a good glimpse of hell, it will be a good motivation. I'm letting you know. Because you know what? You may be the only person they would ever listen to. I told you about the guy dying in the hospital. I went up there. He called me up there. I'd witnessed to him a bunch of times. I got up there, and he said, I don't want to hear about this preacher. I just want you to take care of my wife because I'm going to die. I'm like, dude, I'm like, look at him. You're on your deathbed. They said you're going to die like any second. He died 2 days later. But then some squirrely, mousy guy came up there, real intimidated, real gentle. And it's okay. I'm just saying, just describing him. I'm not saying he's bad. I'm just saying, not me at all. Not outward, not whatever. But that man was able to lead him to Jesus. And that man had walked away with the person who had come there, like me, to talk to him. And as they walked away, that man, the Holy Ghost inside of him, said, you need to go back. He had never witnessed to anybody. He had no clue. Because he went out with people like me. He didn't ever do the talking. He didn't have a chance. And he wouldn't have known what to say. And even when he went back, he didn't know what to say. He said, could I talk to you? Why are you here? Because I thought God wanted me to talk to you about him. Can I? Okay. The man in the bed, okay. And he didn't know what to say. But there was a track that told about Jesus, one of those, you know, tracks that we have, that, you know what I mean, something like that. And he picked up the track because he didn't know what to say. He said, God, I don't know what to say. And he saw a track, picked it up. I had left it there the day before. Picked it up, read the track to him word for word, had no idea. God is going to put you in people's lives that you're the one they could hear from. Okay? Number one, is hell real to you? Number two, God, help me to see people through your eyes. Give me your heart and your mind for them. I want to see others through your eyes. This was really good, by the way. Thank you. Turning that in. God, help me to see others through your eyes. Next thing in homework, Romans chapter 3, verses 10 through 12. Please, let's turn there. Romans chapter 3, verses 10 through 12. Did you look at those verses this week? Did anybody else look at them? I didn't hear anybody answer. Hey, I want you to do something. This was really good. I marked it. Things that stood out to me. God ministered to me through that. It was that we talked about on the phone, your homework. It was really good. It was, I mean, God showed me stuff. I mean, quickened it to me. It was awesome. Okay? I didn't know you were. Okay, don't worry about it. You're not late. You got here. Romans 3:10. The Bible says, as it is written, there is none. The reason I'm reading this is because I want us to talk about it. Please look at me a second. Okay. I am the personality that I am. I try to compliment. I try to say things. But remember something. God designed me to challenge people, to challenge your thinking. And he challenged me to be a more person. When I ask questions, I know you get intimidated by things I say or whatever. Please forgive me, okay? And pray for me because I want to change. I want to be just like Jesus, but I got to be me in Jesus. You understand? It doesn't mean I'm going to be your personality or the personality that just fits you. I'm going to be the personality God made me to be. One time you sent me to Florida, and my dad and mom lived in the same city at the same at the time, and they lived on opposite sides, and my dad was remarried. And I go to my mom's house, and I would stay there with her, but you could never stay overnight because my mom, just the way she was. We went down to Florida with my kids to surprise her one time. Okay, do you understand? We drove 1,100 miles to surprise my mom. We only did it once. We went there. We knocked on the door. I think it was a Tuesday. I'm trying to remember. I think it was a Tuesday. We knocked on the door. She didn't come. Knocked on the door. Didn't come. Knocked on the door. She opened it like she was irritated or something. And I'm like, Mom, how are you? She says, what are you doing here? I mean, I only got to see her every couple, 3 years. What are you doing here? Mom, and I've got all the kids, all 5 kids in the car and Sue. And I said, Mom, we drove here just to surprise you. She said, this is Tuesday. This is laundry day. I can't talk to you today. I go, what? I said, Mom, we want to, you have to come tomorrow. I'll try to fit it in tomorrow. My mom, okay, so I drive down to Florida one time by myself, another time. We said, we'll never do this again. So, drove down to Florida one time by myself, go to my mom's house, leave my mom's house after talking to her, because you could only go over and visit her, and then we would go stay at my dad's house, okay? Went to my mom's house, went in, left, and the Holy Spirit said, Harvey, he held up a mirror in front of my face as I'm driving down the road, and said, Harvey, do you understand why you're like you are? Did you see what your mom's like? And I go, yeah, I'm so much like her. Then I drove to my dad's house. I spent time with my dad. I get alone by myself, and the Holy Spirit holds up a mirror and says, now do you see why you're like you are? If you hadn't got it from your mom, you'd have got it from your dad. That's why they had to get divorced, because they were so much alike. They were like, bing, 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 bang, all the time. Okay? He said, I designed you on purpose like you are. I know you don't fit in this society. I know you offend people. I know all this stuff. He said, but I designed you that way on purpose. But I don't want to, I'm not using that as an excuse like it's okay or to justify anything I do. I'm trying to let you know God made every one of us like we are. But he made all of us different. And he made us for different purposes to accomplish different things. Okay? Pray for me that I want to be palatable. That means, how would you explain that? I want to be palatable to people. How would you explain that, Mr. Word? Okay, come on. Say words, break it down. Simple words. Winsome. Winsome. That's what we want to do. Winsome. Winsome. Okay, that's right. We want to win some. We want to win some people to ourselves. We want to win some to Jesus, you know. Winsome. How else would you say it? Another word. Pleasant, yes, I would like to be that. Loving, okay. You're right. Okay, now. That's right, win some. I love it. Thank you, Tom. That was like the most awesome, that's the word of the day. Win some. Okay. S-O-M-E, yeah. I know it's a word, but I... So here's the reason I wanted you to look at Romans chapter 3, verses 10 through 12. I know I intimidate you sometimes when I ask questions, and then you go to answer, and then I go, well, that was good, but anything else? Or I'm like looking for an answer. Well, the reason is I'm designed to challenge you. I'm designed to take you more. Yes, what you said is good, but let's go further. What about, let's expand it. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Go deeper.
Go deeper. Do you know what I'm talking about? Are you getting this? So can you please not get offended when I hear what you say, I thought I said, I asked my wife, I said, don't I say, that's good. Yes, that's right. What else? What else? What else? Because I want us to expand our thinking. Let me tell you why. A word like, what was the first word I used? Not winsome.
Palatable.
Somebody like Tom may understand palatable. Okay? But you and I may not understand the word. I wouldn't have if my dad hadn't challenged me to get in a dictionary every day of my life. Okay? For a while. But then other people can understand simple, more simple words or more commonly used words like pleasant or winsome, in two words, I should say. But because even though the rest of us had to get dictionary, don't know that one word, winsome. Okay. But let's look at Romans chapter 3 in verses 10 through 12. I want you to understand what this passage is saying. As it is written, do you know what that little phrase means? It means it was written before in the Bible. Okay? As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Do you know what the word righteous means? That's right standing with God. That means you can stand before God. Righteous. It is a legal term. In our judiciary system, our court system, we would say not guilty. But not guilty doesn't necessarily mean innocent. But God says it's not just that you're not guilty, you're righteous. It's as if you had never sinned. Justification, justified. Just as if you had never sinned. That's how I like the word, to understand the word justification. Just as if you had never sinned. Okay? So the Bible says, as it is written, there is none righteous. It's not talking about Catholics here when it says the word none. It's a different none. Is there anybody listening? I'm trying to get y'all paying attention, cooperating, getting involved. Okay, that's humor. One person got it. There is none righteous. No, not one. See, none of us have a right standing with God outside of Jesus. But in Jesus, you can have a right with God. So what the Bible's saying here is there's none righteous. No, not one. There's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. Why aren't people out there? Why don't we just put up a sign? It says Jesus is here. This is a church. Do you think if we put up a sign, let's spend $1,000, we put up a sign, do you think people would just be standing in line to get in? Why not? God's here. It's a church. It's a place where they can be justified. It's a place where they can know they're going to heaven. Why wouldn't they be standing in line? Okay, they're dead to God. What else? That's very good. Okay? They have their own way or system of thinking. Look at the verse 11, and think about why they wouldn't be standing in line. Why they wouldn't be coming here. Why does God want us to be witnesses? Because there's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. Do you know when you got saved? It wasn't because you woke up one morning and said, I think I'll go get saved today. Was it? Anybody got a testimony like that? Oh, I think I'll go get saved today. Okay, what do I got to do? Okay, boom. I did it. Now I'm saved. Anybody got a testimony like that? Right. It bore witness. It drew you. But see, somebody had to listen, and somebody else had to witness. Verse 11, it says, there's none that understands. They don't understand the end of their way. They don't understand how to get to God. They don't understand the things of God. Like Rick said, they're dead to God. The reason it says born again is because you become alive to God. Before that, you're dead to God. You can go do things and it's like, nobody sees, I'm not getting caught. Do you know what Ecclesiastes, what is it, 8:11, I believe it says? It says, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. It says in Genesis 6:5 that the imagination of their heart was only evil continually. The last verse of the book of Judges, I believe it's chapter 21, verse something, like 20 or whatever it is. It's the last verse. It says, every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Verse 11 here in Romans 3, these are verses to help people to come to Jesus. Because for somebody to get saved, are you hearing me? For somebody to get saved, they have to realize they're lost. For somebody to trust in Jesus, they can't be trusting in anything else. Remember me telling you when we were starting a church down in Texas, we knocked on every door in a town of 10,000, my wife and I. Well, we went in this lady's house, and she had a Buddha, she had a crucifix, she had a picture of Pancho Villa. Okay? Sue's telling her all about Jesus. She said, yes, yes, I agree with everything. Real emotional. Oh, yes, yes, I agree with everything you're saying. Would you like to accept Christ? Oh, yes, I would. And Sue, because she was listening to the Holy Spirit, said, ma'am, hang on. She took the Buddha, the crucifix, and the picture of Pancho Villa, put them face down on the floor, took them off the mantle, put them face down on the floor, whatever else she was trusted in, and said, ma'am, you have to denounce these because it's Jesus only. And she said, oh, no, I'll add Jesus. But I'm not trusting just in Jesus. I'll add him to my group that I'm trusting in. Do you think that woman could get saved?
All or nothing.
I'm sorry? You get it? Okay. Okay, let's do some verses. Let's do verse 12 and then we'll go on. So when you're helping somebody, when you read, you're giving them a verse, you're giving them a passage, stop and break it down for them. Realize you can't make it too simple. You can't make it too simple. And they're, like Rick said, they're dead to God. They don't understand, verse 11 says. So break it down for them. I read a passage when I'm witnessing somebody, or I quote it and say, do you understand what that means? Yes. What does it mean? And if they just repeat words that I said, like a mockingbird, I said, but what does that mean? What does it mean there's none righteous? And ask them questions. Because if they don't get it, there's no use going further. We need to help them understand the first step before we go to the next one. Are you with me? Okay, look at verse 12. It says, they, talking about us, sinners, they are all gone out of the way. Does anybody know what John 14:6 says? Jesus said, I am the way. He didn't say I'm a way. I am the way. Remember I told you they named a street sign after Jesus? It's called One Way. Okay? He's either you believe in him or you're believing in something else. Jesus said, I am the way. No man comes to the Father but by me. Basically, Jesus said, my way or the highway. That's what he basically said. He said, I'm God. I'm dying for you. That's your only hope. They have to realize they're lost. Verse 12, they are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. Put all of us, all of our good stuff together. I build hospitals. I run nuns around and take care of them. One lady told me that was my customer that I did her tub. Oh, why are you going to heaven? Because I drive nuns all around and I take them where they need to go and I'm crying. Can't you see I'm so sincere? My heart went out to her. Yes, you're sincere, but you're sincerely wrong. You're not trusting in Jesus. When I ask somebody, if you were to die, where would you go? I'm listening for Jesus. I'm a good person. I go to church. I do this. I do that. I said, then you didn't need Jesus to die, did you? When I ask those questions, they say, you don't got to do it just like me. But when I do that, it stops them. They just go, you remember when I dealt with you when you got saved? Okay. Remember how it felt? Well, that's what God does. He's wanting to bring us to truth, and we want to get them to truth because Jesus is the truth. Verse 12, they are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none, he repeats verse 10, there is none that doeth good. And he says, let's make this perfectly clear. No, not one. When the rich young ruler, Matthew 19, the rich young ruler came running to Jesus, he said, good master, what good thing should I do that I can inherit eternal life? And Jesus said, why callest thou me good? Why do you call me good? Do you realize I'm God? He says, why do you call me good? There's only one good, and that's God. Do you realize I'm Him? Because see, if they don't, if they just think He's a teacher, He's a prophet, that doesn't get them to heaven. You got to believe what the Bible says to go to a Bible heaven. Amen. Okay, let's read these verses, okay? Let's see, where are we? Okay, I know where I got to go, so just hang on a second. I don't want you to go to this verse because this is just telling me where I need to go. You have to look it up around verse 16. Okay? I want you to look at Proverbs chapter 11, verse 30. We're going to read a few verses. Hopefully I'll be done real quick. Okay? Proverbs 11, 30. Okay, I'm going to give you the verses as I read them. You may not be able to turn to them as fast as I'm going to read them, okay? Proverbs 11, 30. The fruit, what comes out of somebody's life, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. And he that winneth souls is wise. He that winneth souls is wise. Isaiah 62:6. God says, I have set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace day and night. You'd almost think he was talking about me. They shall never hold their peace day and night. They can't quit talking. Ye that make mention of the Lord, keep not silence. Daniel 12:3, and they that be wise, remember in Proverbs 11:30, it says, he that winneth souls is wise. Daniel 12:3, and they that be wise, that lead souls to Jesus, shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, like the stars in the sky, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. Daniel 12:3, Matthew 4:19-20, and Jesus saith unto them, follow me. He says, if you follow me, I will make you fishers of men. I will make you fishers of men, fishers of men, fishers of men. I will make you fishers of men if you follow me, if you follow thee. Oh, anyway, here we go. Okay. And he saith unto them, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. Matthew 16:24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. If you're going to be my follower, deny yourself. Take up your cross. A cross is an instrument of death. It means he's going to want us to die. Die to our own life. Die to our rights. Die to our feelings. Well, I don't feel like witnessing today. He says, well, I feel like you doing it, so die to what you feel. Okay? Because I feel they're going to go to hell if you don't talk to them, and that's why I put you in their life. Okay? Let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. And when we follow him, what are we going to become? Fishers of men. Fishers of men. If you follow me, I'll make you fishers of men if you follow me, Jesus said. I wish you'd memorize that verse, but if you do, beware, because it's going to get you. Matthew 4:19. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Okay? Don't worry. It's almost over. I know it's not painless, but it's almost over. And Jesus said unto them, did I tell you Mark 1:17-18? Mark 1:17-18. And Jesus said unto them, come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. Their nets, their livelihood, what they were doing, what they were spending their time and energy on. Luke 5:10-11. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not. From henceforth, from now on, thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. Acts 1:8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Oh, what are we going to do with this power, Jesus? And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Grand Rapids and in Kent County and in Michigan and unto the uttermost part of the earth. That's what it says. That's what it says. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, uttermost parts of the earth. Here, a little bit out from here, a little bit out from there, and then everywhere. Okay? God is living inside of you, and he is a witness. He wants us to cooperate. James 5:19-20. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth a sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. I may have shared these with you, but I would like you to look these verses up, meditate on them, take them home this week, meditate on them, pray over them. God, I want, and then pray it into your life. God, I want to be one that converts a sinner from the error of his way. How do I do that? He says, all you have to do is be willing. All you have to do is be willing. He says, because I'll work through you just like you are. Just like you are. He says, I'll keep working on you to bring you closer. He says, but just like you are. The man came out of the tombs. Jesus kicked all the devils out. The 2,000 pigs ran down, killed themselves. And the man said, I want to come hang out with you, Jesus. As Jesus got in the boat and he goes, nope. Go back and tell what good things God has done for you. And the next verse says he went into the town and told everybody what good things Jesus had done for him. Because Jesus is God. Okay? This next week, I want you to go over Romans 3:10-12. Can you tell somebody what that means? Can you take it bit by bit and feed it to somebody? Number two, I want you to look at Romans 6. In verse 23, for the wages of sin is death. That's part A. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's part B. I want you to break it down into parts A and B. And I want you to meditate on it. And you can put other verses with it. But I want you to, do you understand what that's talking about? I'm giving you a simple little plan to be able to witness to somebody. Have you ever gone to witness and you don't know what to say and you just say, oh, would you come to church? Do they need to come to church or do they need Jesus? They need Jesus. When they get Jesus, they'll want to come to church. As soon as I got saved as a drug dealer, dude, I wanted to go to church. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Jesus, we love you. And Jesus, we want to be followers of you. And you said you would make us fishers of men. So Jesus, we are your workmanship. You're going to do the work in us. We just want to choose to cooperate. Help us to be willing to deny ourselves, lay down what we think that we need to spend our time and energy on and give our focus to you and follow you. We want to hang out with you. Help us to see hell and others through your eyes. Help us, Lord, to see and have your heart and your mind toward other people. Thank you, Jesus. You're so awesome. I'm just asking for your anointing on each one that's here in the name of Jesus. Amen.